Town & Country magazine, he designs handcrafted wardrobes for corporate titans, celebrities, and professional athletes. His boutique, Alan Rouleau Couture, resides on the swankiest stretch of Newbury Street in Boston, where he serves as the VIP tailor for the Taj, the Ritz-Carlton, the Four Seasons, and the Mandarin Oriental. He has been called a virtuoso of exclusive fabric. Piacenza Cashmere, Drago Super 180s, and Loro Piana Super 200s all make their way into his modish creations. Alan's unique expertise blends mathematical precision and exceptionally deep knowledge of the qualities of different cloth in one of the most unappreciated aspects of bespoke tailoring, understanding each individual client on his own terms. You have to take into account their personality, their age, their skin tone, their career, their lifestyle, and especially their aspirations, explains Alan. You've got to recognize not just who they are, but who they want to be. Alan's easygoing confidence and roguish charm invites clients to open up and reveal themselves, even those accustomed to the most attentive service and possessing the most discriminating taste. You might guess that attaining such an elite level of mastery would require a lifetime of devotion to one's craft. And indeed, in the United States, most upscale tailors are raised in families who have been fashioning custom apparel for generations, or else are genteel imports from Europe, where it's not unusual for tailors to be apprenticed in the art from boyhood. Alan followed neither path. He grew up in Leominster, a hardscrabble town in central Massachusetts, as one of six children. After he graduated from high school, Alan enrolled in Southeastern Massachusetts University, an inexpensive regional college, but given the number of siblings, his parents could not afford his tuition. Alan tried to pay his way through college by taking on multiple part-time jobs, attending classes during the day, pumping gas in the evenings, and loading UPS trucks before dawn. It didn't work out. Alan's exhausting hours prevented him from keeping up with his schoolwork, so he took a leave of absence in the hope of earning enough money to one day return to college. He wound up working as a bartender in the mill town of Gardner, serving 50-cent drafts to college kids and blue-collar workers. It was not a very promising foundation for professional advancement. But what Alan lacked in resources and connections, he made up for with savvy people skills and canny business instincts. When Alan's boss was unexpectedly forced to sell the bar where he worked, Alan seized the opportunity to purchase the business. Even though he had no assets and was only 20 years old, Alan managed to persuade a bank to loan him the money to buy the bar by arguing that his people skills would ensure his success as the new owner. Alan was right. He increased both customers and profits, and eventually paid the loan off. But he didn't stop there. He also bought the building the bar was in, then opened a real estate company. He bought a four-decker apartment building. Then he bought another building and converted it into a restaurant. He purchased another bar at a racquetball and tennis club in the nearby town of Fitchburg, then bought the entire club. By the time he was 28, Alan had parlayed a night gig intended to pay for college into a small-town business empire. Despite his enviable success, he felt that something important was missing from his life. A few years later, Alan looked in the mirror one morning and realized, "This is not who I truly am. There is more to me than this." In a move that shocked everyone around him, Alan sold off all his businesses and relocated to Boston, where he tried his hand at something that even those who knew him best would never have predicted: making men's suits. It was a radical career pivot, but one that so thoroughly filled the void inside Alan that he immersed himself completely in the art of crafting custom apparel. After 2 years of diligent training and practice, at the age of 35, he won his first National Fashion Award. Many more would follow. Soon, Alan Rouleau Couture was holding its own against the most established and prominent tailors in the country. Alan's and Jenny's journeys break the mold for how we think about the development of talent. To become a successful astronomer, the prescribed sequence is to obtain your PhD, complete a postdoc at a respectable university, and settle into a tenure-track professorship, not drop out of school, then teach yourself astronomy in your backyard. To become a successful bespoke tailor, the conventional route is to follow a youthful passion for fashion and slowly and steadily hone your skills over many long years of apprenticeship at the feet of a master, not to perform a midlife swivel from an entirely unrelated profession. Jenny and Alan seem to come out of nowhere, bursting onto the scene with their own signature version of excellence. There's a term for those who triumph against the odds, for winners nobody saw coming. They are called dark horses.